Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak, and coming up next Tuesday, December 6th, there's a Ask UAS presentation, Mapping and Participating in the Inupiaq Way of Life in the Arctic. Joining us this morning is Brandon Chapman, Assistant Professor of Anthropology, who will be making that presentation, and also Shelley Tabb from the UAS Campus Library. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I guess let's just start off and maybe tell us a little bit about your background, Mr. Chapman, and were you in that zone? Like, why this topic?
I was in that zone. So, you know, down here in Southeast, you know, some people are certainly familiar with the Northwest Arctic and the North Slope. But it's, you know, also very much at the opposite end of the state for us geographically and in some ways culturally as well, kind of a far, you know, far out there, off the road sort of thing. So I actually started up in Alaska over 5 years ago up there. I was actually based out of Kotzebue. Working with the Northwest Arctic Borough government, was recruited up there as basically a government-sponsored anthropologist. And I ended up working, helping design and working on this project up there as a $1.8 million project, subsistence mapping. We went into the various villages up in the Nana region, it's also known as the Northwest Arctic, those communities surrounding Kotzebue. Very subsistence, subsistence is kind of a, can be a good and bad term. So the hunting, fishing, gathering way of life up there, very much still a, you know, big part of the daily life up there. And so a lot of resource development going on too. And so working on this project to map high use subsistence areas in the region to figure out what places would be best to stay away from as far as oil, mining development, that sort of thing. And so that was kind of the practical use of the project. So that's what the talk's about, part of it's about on Tuesday. So that's where I started up. I was up in Kotzebue in the Northwest Arctic for a couple years. Was able to, you know, fly in the Cessnas, take the snow machines between villages, had a very adventurous time, was very fortunate to be able to do that. And then I actually taught in a village for a year before coming to Ketchikan, and now I'm in my third year here in Ketchikan and absolutely love it, teaching up at UAS, up on the hill, as we say. And so having a great time, really love the community, and so that's my most recent background here in Alaska. So I'm still a newbie, relatively, but to the state, but definitely getting my my feet in what's about me here. So so yeah, that's my story.
Have you been able to go back up there?
Yes, been there just within the past few years. And was based out of there for the first 2 years. Having moved up here, so yes, actually planning another extending some of this research. Actually planning to go back up sometime this coming summer and continue doing some documentation of subsistence and what we call traditional knowledge, or that knowledge that indigenous people, native people have about their hunting, fishing, and gathering. So gonna look at how sort of modern technology has changed. Some of the traditional methods, if you will, up there. So,
this you're speaking about your mapping project at the presentation. Are you also talking about life up there, in a sense?
Sure. Yeah. Because when we started talking about this, certainly some of us in the community have had the good fortune of going up there, but many of us maybe have not. And so it's our state being so large, this is kind of the opposite end up there, right? And so this is also, basically, I'll start off the talk, just sort of giving that sort of introduction about, the region up there, recent history, the Inupiaq culture, we talk about, different Alaska Native groups across the state. And, oftentimes, they get lumped into these larger sort of, terms like Inupiaq or Yupik, Koyukon, all these different groups. But we also have to understand that obviously there's a lot of diversity within those cultures. And so that's what I'm going to talk about too, as well, talking about that. And just really emphasizing, especially compared to other parts of the state, and especially down here, up there, hunting, fishing, gathering, harvesting wild food resources is a huge part of the daily life. It cannot be overemphasized. 50% of the daily diet, on average, for residents up there comes from subsistence. So it's a big deal, and it's across the income spectrum. It's not just low income, it's high income, it's all in between. So this sort of thing has practical uses as well, and it's sort of a way through mapping subsistence, mapping those things, hopefully a way to sort of give a roadmap for ways to protect Alaska Native subsistence rights, which is also a big deal down here, of course, especially within the last few years. So Saxman and all that, it's obviously been a huge deal. So hopefully there's some practical issues to talk about in this talk as well. So.
And which community or communities were you in up there?
I was in the ones that were nearest to the coast in the Northwest Arctic, the Nana region. So that's basically all of them except some of the inland, the really far inland ones. So these, some of the names, Kivalina, Noatak, Norvik, Deering, Buckland, these places. So they're the ones that are sort of around Kotzebue, south of the North Slope, but still above the Arctic Circle. So.
And these are communities where loss of sea ice is affecting things, correct?
Oh, sure. Yeah, actually, I'll be mentioning one of the communities I'm going to profile in looking at the culture and these ways of life is Kivalina. And Kivalina, of course, has been in not only state news, but national news a lot the past few years because it's the one that's right on the coast, the Chukchi Sea coast, and has been really prone to coastal erosion. And it's been debated for 20 plus years about where they're going to move the community because of that erosion. So climate change very much affecting some of these communities, especially one like Kivalina, other ones as well. There's been a lot of inland sort of thawing and permafrost slumping, if you will, of things there that's really affected communities too. So we'll be talking about some of those issues and how they affect how people go out and, you know, harvest stuff. So.
And did you stay up there year round or was it more of a seasonal thing?
No, I was living there. So I, you know, full bore. So, you know, loved the community up there. It's, you know, about 90% plus, Inupiaq native people, of course, with some outsiders that have the government jobs and teachers and that sort of thing. And so I was fortunate to make a lot of good friends, both with native folks and also with, you know, people that were sort of, you know, there for a little bit of time and, you know, made some great friends in the villages, got to speak to so many elders and to be privy to that sort of intricate, you know, that sort of detailed knowledge that people really hold dear and is the basis of much of their life and much of their culture. As an anthropologist, I mean, that's one of the most rewarding parts of doing this sort of job is to be trusted enough to be able to, you know, to be able to secure that knowledge and be trusted with it. So I take great, great solace in doing that sort of work. So I'm very careful about, you know, presenting it to others and how I do it. So.
Will you be talking about a little bit about like day-to-day life there, what it's like?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. It's definitely unique. It makes me sort of recount a story. My first day in Alaska, I actually moved up on the summer solstice, all the way up to above the Arctic Circle in Kotzebue. And so, something that certainly affects, life there is just, you know, the intense, differences between, summer and winter, between the solstices, you know, having 24-hour sun versus almost 24-hour darkness in winter and, just, the cold too. My first winter up there, 90 straight days of negative 20 and below air temperature, and sometimes it got to negative 80 and below wind chill three times my first winter. So that's, you know, talk about baptism under fire sort of thing. That's a lot of things, especially for an outsider to come in and try to try to handle. So there are a lot of unique things up there about ways of life and so and just the communities in general. So I'll certainly be talking about that, showing a lot of pictures, maps, other things, and just generally getting the sense for the region for those in the community here in Ketchikan that are not, you know, familiar with it. That it should be a good overview as well about those more general things. So definitely.
Okay. Sounds interesting. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I hope folks come out. I know it's the forecast is looking a little chilly, so who knows what's going to happen on Tuesday. But would certainly like to see my friends and other folks, community members, come out. Should be a good time. So,
okay. And Shelley, you want to mention?
Sure.
A little bit about.
So I just want to encourage people to come out as well. This is our last Ask UAS of the semester. We've got a great lineup of topics coming up for the spring. To those of you listening, if you haven't yet, if you go to Facebook and University of Southeast, of Alaska Southeast Campus Library, you can like us, you can follow us. And so we always put the flyer that we make and the details for the events that we're hosting. Some upcoming topics for the spring will be, mental health, Southeast Native storytelling, women's history, native edible plants, and quite possibly a repeat of edible seaweed. And so please keep an eye on Facebook and follow us, because we'll be posting updates. You can always call us and get on our email list as well at 228-4567. Our events are always free and open to the public. And we just love having community members out there. So.
And you always have snacks.
And we always have snacks. Come and get snacks.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Dr. Brandon Chapman, Assistant Professor of Anthropology. And again, he will be making the presentation next Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. at the UAS Ketchikan Campus Library, Mapping and Participating in the Inupiaq Way of Life in the Arctic. And also Shelley Tabb from the from the University of Alaska Southeast Ketchikan Campus Library.